You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. Although we have topics prepared, sometimes we will go off the beaten path and venture into uncharted territories.
Yep.
For this week's episode, something that I want to plug right away is the fact that we've got a special guest calling into the show on this week's side dish. The funny comedian Steve Hofstetter is calling and going to chat with us for a little bit in the side dish coming up. He's going to have a big gig at Helium Comedy Club Thursday, May the 10th at 8 p.m. And it's going to be a hilarious show. If you know anything from Steve Hofstetter, he always just has hilarious material, but also shut down material if any hecklers decide to try and challenge him. He's just an all-around funny guy, and I can't wait to talk to him. And that'll be in the side dish coming up. But before we start down the path of the sports sampler and the entertainment entree, the side dish and the non-fortune cookie odd news, we like to do a little intro as to what we've been up to in our personal lives. So, Mike, what's happening in the world of Mike Costanzo?
Well, recently I got my hands on God of War, but I'm going to save a little bit of that until later in the episode. The big thing that we did this weekend was we celebrated my dad's birthday.
Mr. Costanzo's birthday.
Yep.
What? And he's not here on the podcast?
No, it's too late for him.
Oh, come on.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
Been waiting all week to have hot dogs and hamburgers.
Yeah. Well, he didn't have a hot dog and a hamburger. Instead, we went to King's Buffet, actually. One of our favorite places. That's what he wanted. He's like, let's go to King's Buffet.
And what did he get?
He likes to get the fish. And I know that...
What do you mean?
So, you know, they have like the sushi. No, not the sushi, but the I guess it's like the broiled sea bass and salmon.
What?
Yeah, I know. All that good Chinese food there, like General Tso's and all these dumplings and crab cakes and all this other stuff. And he goes for the salmon and the sea bass. And I'm like, Dad, why don't you try some of this dim sum or these pork dumplings or these crab wontons? He's like, no. Mm-hmm. We're going to get crab legs and salmon. I'm like, okay. All right. Okay. Sure. Whatever.
Whatever floats Mr. Costanzo's boat.
But that's why he loves King's Buffet, for the crab legs, for the salmon, the potatoes. I don't know. He gets the strangest things when we go there. It doesn't make any sense.
Can we tell the story of his most infamous ordering out?
Oh, you're talking about the Friendly story?
Oh, my God.
Okay. So one time we were at Friendly's. This was a long time ago. And
this is true.
When you say Friendlies, okay, what's the first type of food that pops in your head, Rich?
Yeah, we'll let the audience ponder for just a second.
Okay,
yeah, to give you one, two, three. Okay, you're probably thinking like hamburger or chicken fingers,
like
or ice
tuna
cream.
Melt or ice cream, right? I bet nobody out there thought spaghetti.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Yeah. I didn't even know it was on the menu.
Right.
But
and your dad,
my
found
dad
it.
Found spaghetti on a Friendly's menu. And if your stomach is already turning over and getting ready to turn whatever contents has inside it out, yeah, that's exactly what it should be doing, because I he ordered spaghetti from a Friendly's. And I can only imagine the poor waitress goes back there and they're like, we have a spaghetti at table five? And the guy's like, quick, somebody go out and buy some pasta.
I didn't know we served this.
Right, exactly.
Consequences will never be the same because you done goofed.
Yeah. To be fair, my dad doesn't really have a high standard because he also one time went to a pizzeria and got pasta. Because if pasta's on a menu, I think he will order it. It doesn't matter where he
is. Okay, wait.
If pasta's
pizzeria
on...
is at least in the realm of
right.
Of
it's
food.
At least the correct type of cuisine.
Right. Friendly's is way off.
That
kilter.
Is way yeah yeah.
I think you literally have to be searching for like.
I don't know where. Where do they even have pasta on the menu?
Is it right next to the Beef Wellington?
Beef Wellington from Friendly's.
Yeah,
wow.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Where's the lamb sauce?
I can tell you, there was no lamb sauce at this Friendly's. But yeah,
where's the lamb sauce?
He did. He did order spaghetti from a Friendly's once, but he also like I said, he ordered it from a pizzeria once, and his when I asked how was it. You know, most people say, like, oh, it was spicy or oh, the pasta was overcooked, undercooked. The tomato sauce was, you know, too acidic, too sweet for me. He goes, well, it was hot. I'm like,
as opposed
like
to
hot,
cold?
Like spiciness? Like, no, like temperature hot. It was a hot pasta. And I'm like, oh, okay, but how did it taste? He's like, well, it was hot, so it was pretty good. And I'm like, is that it? Is that all food has to be as hot? And it counts as being good food? I'll never understand. Yeah. I don't know.
That's
he also goes to Outback Steakhouse and gets chicken. He goes to Friendly's and gets pasta. He went to Red Lobster and got salmon. It's like, I don't understand. Like, he goes to restaurants where the type of food is in the name, and he gets the opposite.
Wow.
But, that being said, he loves King's Buffet. I'm not going to judge him, because I had a good time. I got all my sushi and all there my General Tso's. So that's what we did this weekend.
There you go. The legend of Frank Costanza grows.
The legend continues. Rich, did you do any legendary things this weekend?
I pretty much had a nice birthday weekend. I guess the big news I would want to share is I got to see Ready Player One finally. Before it left theaters. And I enjoyed it. I think if you're a video gamer, especially... a retro video gamer and you love going back to the past, Ready Player One is definitely for you. There's a lot of references to past movies, past video games, and it was right up my alley. Literally had Easter eggs for my kind of fandom.
Well, because it has all the 80s stuff in it, right? Like, yeah. I know the trailer showed, like, the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Right.
So did that stuff ever feel jarring? Because I see the trailers and I'm like, oh, some of that feels like it might just be, like, forced in there. Did it ever feel, like, forced or
no,
jarring?
No, because you're dealing with people who are creating avatars.
Right.
So if you've played a game where people create their own avatars, you know that people like to take stuff that they like from other pop culture media.
Okay.
So it makes sense.
Okay. So as long as it makes sense in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was a pretty good movie.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. I wanted to see that one and I just never got around to it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, now I think it's probably on its way out.
Well, there's some big movies coming out.
Right,
so.
Exactly. There's which one
everybody's
of them,
clearing house.
Yeah, one of them we'll get to in Mike's This Week in Entertainment. But yeah, so that's what I did. And yeah, we're moving right along, getting to the end of April here. The draft coming up. Everybody's looking forward to it this week. We'll cover all that in the sports sampler, which, why not? Let's start right now.
Let's do it.
Yeah, why not? Let's not delay the inevitable. So let's launch into it. It's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Sports coming at you in your face here. And the first thing that we do is try to hit a couple topics in 2 minutes or less. It's time for the 2 minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. The clock is armed and go. What do you have, Mike?
All right. First up in the 2 minute drill, we have a little bit of hockey news. I know hockey, I don't normally talk hockey, but I'm going to try. The Philadelphia Flyers were sadly eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs this week, losing.
Because you done goofed.
They did goof. They goofed in a big way. They lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-2.
Yeah,
it was pretty rough, the series. Flyers suffered a couple of big losses. And this also makes the Flyers the first Philly area team to lose in a playoff in the year 2018. Rich, what's going on here? This was supposed to be the year to end all years. What happened?
Yeah, the Flyers, they're a young team. They were just outmatched by the Penguins.
I mean, the Penguins are, they're a big team.
They're the defending Stanley Cup champions. Everyone forgets that.
That's a hockey thing. Yes, indeed.
Great analysis.
I don't know
Mike.
Anything about hockey. I had no idea they were the defending champions.
Good job, Mike.
Of course the Flyers are going to lose. What did you people expect? They took them 6 games, though. Be happy with that, I think.
I wish it could have gone 7.
Yeah, but maybe next year, yeah. Right?
Correct.
They're going to be the Eagles of the hockey world.
Right.
Speaking of the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles guard Brandon Brooks, who is having a spectacular career here in Philly. He's only allowed 1 sack in the past 2 years, I just found out. But he recently restructured his contract, shifting around some money, freeing up a couple million dollars in much-needed cap space for the team heading into the draft. But that's not why he did it. According to his Twitter post, he said it was because the effing Super Bowl MVP deserved more money. At Nick Foles, love you, bro. Hashtag whatever it takes. This is the type of player you want on your team.
Yes, Brandon Brooks, the real MVP, as far as I'm concerned, because the Eagles need all the cap room that they can get.
Absolutely. And this move really puts him into a good position for the draft.
Yeah, go Brandon Brooks. You rock. Yes, so there you go. Some interesting Eagles news there that doesn't relate to the draft yet. but before we get to the draft, we the Flyers lost. But on the other hand, we do have something to celebrate. The Sixers have won their first playoff series since 2012. The process has worked.
Mamma mia. Yeah.
Toss me boobies. Boobies.
What does this guy think? He's an Indian?
Right, such eyes.
Jesus!
Yeah, the Sixers have done it. The process is starting to pay off. They beat the Heat in 5 games, too.
Yeah, that's a pretty commanding series win, I think. 4-1, that's pretty good.
It was one of those series that the Sixers just seemed to be in control of.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Sixers had a couple of big wins. The last game was a little shaky there for a little while. We had a chance to watch some of it. But they eventually ended up ahead. This is a big moment for the Sixers. Like you said, first win since 2012.
Yeah, first playoff series win. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, not first win ever. Sorry.
Yeah.
At times it felt like that, though.
Yes.
They put up a stat on the screen during the game. 2 years ago, they had 10 wins.
The whole season.
Yeah, it was, 10-72?
Right.
And now they're winning a playoff series.
They won 50 games this season.
50 games. They went from 10 to, I think it was like 52 or 53 games. That's a 40-some game swing,
In 2 years.
That is incredible. The Sixers fans that stuck through it, that trusted the process, they must be just absolutely reeling right now, overjoyed.
Yeah. This is the most exciting time to be a Sixers fan since Iverson was part of the team.
Yeah, yeah. It's very true. It's very true.
Yep.
Well, for the first time in forever, they have actual stars they can watch play
right.
instead of nobodies.
Exactly. And they're young, too. So who knows, the sky's the limit with them.
Absolutely.
So we'll see how far they go in the NBA playoffs this year. All right. Now, here's something that we want to talk about. We want to talk about the draft, but this podcast comes out Thursday, so it doesn't really make sense to do any more analysis. We did most of our analysis last week, and most of it holds up. So I figured instead of us trying to predict the draft or trying to do some stupid mock draft, because apparently everybody and their mom does a mock draft now.
It's all just BS.
Right.
I can just pick 32 random names and have it be just as successful as a mock draft.
Right.
So many things change.
Exactly. I figure instead something that would be, I think, a little bit more fun to do would be to go over some memorable moments in the NFL draft in the past. You get people that are, that like really going to watch the draft.
Right.
But the draft is kind of like the start of the upcoming season because this is where teams have probably the biggest chance to improve.
Yeah.
Because free agency, you may pick up a couple star players, but it's at a cost. And, you know, so it worked for the Eagles last year, but right. for some teams it blows up in their face and then they're stuck with, you know, long-term contracts
I mean,
it doesn't work out.
The draft is really the key to success. A good draft can make or break a team.
Right.
So this is really a tone setter for the rest of the season.
That's right. So I figure we go back in draft pass and go over just a couple of moments that I as far as I'm concerned, just memorable moments in draft history. And most of these are driven by personalities, which I definitely like.
Everybody likes a good personality.
Right, good personality, good story.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one that I would like to bring up is one 35 years ago when John Elway was drafted. He was drafted to the Baltimore Colts.
Okay.
And he, when he found out about the head coach of the team at the time, Frank Kush, and his harsh style and very strict style of getting players ready for the season, he decided that, nope, he wasn't going to be part of the team. And it's one of those things that actually kind of went under the rug because he was obviously just a, you know, some rookie at the time, and
right.
this was before the era of, you know, coverage 24/7 and the NFL
right.
network and everything like that. So that always kind of like got conveniently like swept under the rug when it comes to John Elway and his legacy.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that he had been drafted by, you said, the Baltimore Colts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he made like a little bit of a stink. He said he wasn't going to go play for this cranky old head coach and everything like that. And eventually the Colts decided to trade him away, and that's where he ended up in with the Broncos, and the rest is history. He became probably, I think it's safe to say, the best Broncos player in that franchise's history.
Yeah. Oh, you don't count Tim Tebow?
He does have a playoff win.
He does. I kid, of course. But yeah, it's interesting. You know, I always think about, you know, what if a player doesn't want to go to a team that drafts them? You know, that's always one of those things that sticks in the back of my mind. Like, not that I would ever be an NFL player, because who are we kidding? I don't do the running and the jumping.
That's all right. You can be a lineman.
That's right. Not a lot of running and jumping there. But I always imagine, like, what would happen if I were drafted by the Cowboys? You know, like, would I be like, okay, I'll do it for a couple million? Or would I be absolutely completely opposed to it? I don't know. It's just something that always, it always, like, intrigued me. Whenever I would play my Madden, you know, where they had the create a player thing, and you, like, take them through the draft, and,
yeah.
you know. And I was always like, oh, I hope I get drafted by the Eagles. And it was always, like, the Browns or the Chargers. And I'm like, come on. I don't want to be some quarterback for the, you know, the Browns and my fake Madden universe. Yeah.
You don't want to lead Cleveland to a title?
No, not at all. So it's interesting, though, that even some big names throughout football history have pulled that move.
Yeah. I'm going to actually switch it around here.
I know. I ruined your order.
It's fine. Because the modern-day version of this would be 14 years ago when Eli Manning was drafted at number one overall to the Chargers, and Eli Manning flatly said, I will not play for the San Diego Chargers. Everyone forgets about this, feel like. I feel like everyone's just kind of like remembering, like, duh, face Eli Manning.
Right.
But there was a time when he was drafted, when it was his time to be drafted, he was just a little bitch about it. He was like, no, I'm not going to play for the Chargers.
He
made a stink about it.
Yeah. Apparently he had like this whole plan, like, he was going to play for a New York team because he, like, I think it was idolized the Yankees, and he wanted to be like a sports legend, a sports hero in that city. And it's interesting. It's one of those like multiverse things where in one universe he becomes the quarterback of the Chargers, and in the other universe, the timeline that we're in, he becomes the quarterback of the Giants. Like, think about how different football history would have been. Right.
Well,
if he hadn't gone to the Giants, because
there's actually a lot of things wrong with this scenario. Because so to recap for people who may not remember, so Eli Manning was going to be drafted. Eli Manning gets drafted number one overall to the Chargers, who he
right.
absolutely hated. Also, at this time, this is when the Giants decided to go out on a limb and they decide to draft Philip Rivers.
Right.
They initially weren't actually going to draft Philip Rivers. They were actually going to draft another player, not a quarterback.
Right.
But the general manager of the Giants at the time had like a handshake agreement that a trade was going to happen between the Chargers and the Giants to switch their picks.
Right.
Which is kind of really bizarre when you think about this, that this only happened like 14 years ago. This happened in this current millennium.
Yeah.
This was all a handshake agreement. Like, this was nothing was on paper.
Right.
Like, the Chargers at any point could have just been like, no, we changed our mind.
The Chargers could have put their foot down and said, no, we picked Manning and we're going to force him to play for us. And
right.
Manning would have held out and probably would have faded into nothing.
Right. So that's kind of an odd aspect with this move. But then another thing that everybody forgets is this is the same draft that Big Ben Roethlisberger was drafted in.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
And he was predicted to go like a top five quarterback overall. And when all this quarterback mayhem happened, all the teams shied away from picking quarterbacks. He fell all the way down to like 15 where the Steelers were.
Wow.
So it's amazing. Basically, what I'm trying to say is if you could go into another universe where Eli Manning stayed with the Chargers and maybe the Giants went with somebody else, or maybe the Giants actually picked up Big Ben.
I mean, four Super Bowl victories hang in the balance of this one football moment.
Right, because Eli's got two and Big Ben's got two.
Yeah, because think of like the 16th overall team had taken Big Ben.
Right.
I want to know.
The 10th. Like just right. somebody that gave
what,
a crap.
What happens if the Giants have Phillip Rivers? Do the Giants still win those two Super Bowls against the Patriots? What if the Patriots win those two Super Bowls and they have, what is it, like seven Super Bowl wins in 18 years?
It's ridiculous. Yeah, right? It's
what
ridiculous.
If the Eagles didn't have to compete with Manning during those years? Would we have been better? Would we have gotten McNabb a Super Bowl? I don't know.
Right.
It is. It's the permutations, the ripple effect, the butterfly effect is just crazy.
Yeah. So it's always fun to think of. I think it's always fun to think of just, you know, those what ifs. What if, you know.
Absolutely.
So so off the top of my head, I think those are the two biggest moments.
That was also part of the reason why the Chargers got rid of Drew Brees was when they got Phillip Rivers, right? I think it was a year or two later, isn't it? They got rid of Drew Brees and he went to the Saints.
Right. So another
quarterback. So, I mean, think about how many Super Bowls were affected by this move.
That's right. So those are the two big ones that come to my mind in terms of, like, personality issues that affected the draft and, like Mike said, could have had ripple effects throughout the entire NFL. Now, for my third moment that I want to bring up, the last moment I want to bring up, is just something completely just, I love, like, just stupid rivalry, stupid heated arguments. This is one of them. 24 years ago, there was the infamous incident where Mel Kiper, for those who don't know, Mel Kiper is a hired ESPN draft analysis. He's pretty much now like the godfather of draft analysis, which I still don't know what the hell that means, but okay. But back in 1994, he was praising Trent Dilfer and believing that he was going to be one of the top quarterbacks ever to play the NFL.
Correctly so. He won a Super Bowl.
As a backup.
Still has a ring.
He still has a ring, but it was as a backup. Nevertheless, so Mel Kiper predicted at one point during the draft that the Colts, with their pick in the first round, was absolutely 100% sure, absolutely going to take him. No ifs, ands, or buts. Bet all your money on it.
That's a pretty bold statement.
Right. And when it comes to the draft, you really don't want to make absolute statements because it always seems to be if you make one of those, it will blow up in your face. And that is what the Colts precisely did. They actually passed on the quarterback, Trent Dilfer. Also at the time, something else to mention is at this time, the Colts only had one rostered quarterback, and it was Jim Harbaugh.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it. That's all they had.
Good luck.
Yeah. So I guess that's...
It makes sense that Mel Kiper would say they need a quarterback then.
Right.
That was a fair analysis at the time, I guess.
Right. But unfortunately, the Colts organization didn't see it that way. And Mel Kiper gets the camera thrown on him and has this to say about the Colts organization on live television.
You got a problem with this move?
I think it's a typical Colt move. I mean, here's a team that needed a franchise quarterback to pass up a Trent Dilfer when all you have is Jim Harbaugh. Give me a break. That's why the Colts are picking second every year in the draft, not battling for the Super Bowl like other clubs in the National Football League.
It was, whoa, Mel, where are you going, Vase? You know, mild-mannered Mel, all of a sudden, boom, here he comes.
Yeah, and that's Joe Theismann at the end. because he's also like the second commentator in the frame, and he's just like, what is, why is, like, wow. Like,
yeah.
It's one thing to offer analysis. It's another thing to be like, this is why the Colts suck every year. Like,
yeah,
wow.
he was really going at the Colts there.
Yeah, so I love that part. You also have Joe Theismann, just like, he's awkwardly standing there like, should I comment? Should I say something? And then I love the follow-up here, because in a couple of minutes in that broadcast, they send it over to the Colts management, and the general manager at the time, Bill Tobin, gets on an interview, and he goes off on his own rant, which I think is better, and just this is just great that this happened on live television. So this was Bill Tobin's response.
One question, Bill. A lot of criticism about not taking a quarterback here. Your response?
Well, you know, we got a guy up there. Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way? I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. In my knowledge of him, he's never ever put on a jock strap. He's never been a coach. He's never been a scout. He's never been an administrator. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take. We don't have to take anybody that Mel Kiper says we have to take. Mel Kiper has no more credentials to do what he's doing than my neighbor, and my neighbor's a postman, and he doesn't even have season tickets to the NFL.
Yes!
What?
Smack down.
Murdered by words right there.
I love it.
That was great.
That's one of my, that's actually probably my favorite moment in draft history.
Who the hell is
Mel Kiper?
That's great.
Get the hell out of here.
Man, that must be so deflating as Mel Kiper. Can you believe it? Like, could you just imagine that? Who the hell is Mel Kiper?
Yeah, get the hell out of here.
But I mean, he does have a point, though. You know, a lot of these analysts, not all of them, a lot nowadays they employ a lot of former players, but every once in a while you get analysts who, you know, they're not coaches, they're not players, they're not, you know, front office people, they're just
NFL insiders.
Right. They're just television hosts that really like football.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be like making one of us an analyst.
Right. That's why I specifically did not want to do some sort of weird mock draft or whatever.
Right. Yeah. I mean, occasionally we'll guess something right, but I mean, it's few and far between.
Yeah. Have you seen our picks for the Fantastic Four picks?
Yeah. Just see my regular season Fantastic Four picks. I pick the Eagles every week. This year it paid off, but.
Yeah. But there you go. Three big moments in draft history as far as I'm concerned. And, yeah, that last one is always the best one. Who the hell is Mel Kiper? Get the hell out of here.
Poor Mel Kiper.
Yeah, taking a big burn during the 1994 NFL draft. But there you go. Going down memory lane for past NFL drafts. Of course, the NFL draft this week starts Thursday and goes all weekend long. We'll see what the Eagles do with their picks, if they'll trade down and everything like that. And we'll give you a full report on that on next week's podcast. But for now, that will wrap up the sports sampler. A lot of good things, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Flyers, that would have been the cherry on top, but, you know, I guess we can't have everything. We already have the Super Bowl, so yeah,
right,
we'll take that.
We have the Super Bowl. The Sixers are doing well. It was a very positive and uplifting sports sampler.
Yeah. And who the hell is Mel Kiper?
Right. That's just the best.
Yeah. But that'll wrap up the sports sampler. Coming up next, we'll have the entertainment entree, the side dish, which we'll be talking with Steve Hofstetter, a great comedian. And then the non-fortune cookie odd news. A lot of shows still to come. We'll be right back.
The crispy noodle, always crunchy.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A Wyoming high school student who was able to build a nuclear reactor was...
Wait, what? Is that literally the first line of the story?
Yep. A Wyoming high school senior who built a nuclear reactor was disqualified from the International Science and Engineering Fair this month on a technicality. It seems that the senior had competed in too many science fairs.
What? How's that fair? It's like, oh, he's so smart. He's competed in so many. He literally built a nuclear reactor, something that rocket scientists have a hard time with, and he gets disqualified?
Yeah, sadly. He still is planning to graduate from high school this month and wants to go to the South Dakota School of Mines. I don't know if it's actually Mines.
Yeah, wait, School of Mines.
Yeah, okay. M-I-N-E-S. I don't know if that's like a place or if it actually means
landmines or something.
Landmines?
Welcome to campus. Good luck.
If you can make it to class, you've already passed.
Jeez.
What is that? That's the incoming freshman class. There you go, the South Dakota School of Mines.
That's not even what the story was about.
No, but sometimes it's little things.
Yeah, anyway.
Like a landmine!
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, and we're moving right along into the next part of our show. Well, we also have an interview with Steve Hofstetter as well in the side dish coming up after this segment. So we got a lot of meal to eat, if you will, for the Crispy Noodle Podcast coming up. The first dish in this segment is the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Speeding, let's say China. They're devaluing their currency to a level that you wouldn't believe. It makes it impossible for our companies to compete. China, 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 China,
China, China,
China, China,
China, China. Yes, so there you go. Daft Punk with Donald Trump. Donald Trump. Donald Trunk. I mixed Trump and Punk. They're Trunk.
Donald Trunk.
Donald Trunk.
That's his name now. Donald Trunk.
When he's collaborating with Daft Punk, he's Donald Trunk.
Yes.
I like it.
That was great, though.
Yes. This was by the YouTube user Grand A. It's two Y's at the end. That's why you say it like that.
Okay. I was. That's exactly what I was wondering.
I wasn't doing a Forrest Gump impression or anything. But this clip is going viral right now, because why not? Remix the president with some Daft Punk, and you've got a hit on your hands, as far as I'm concerned, with Donald Trunk. By the way, keep in mind, every time he says China in that remix, it's a different China.
Yeah, I believe it.
Like they're all clips taken from his press conferences.
He mentions China a lot.
Right.
And I'm sorry, China.
China. It's very specific. China.
Yeah. It's like a CGH. China.
It's like he's missing a part of the word somehow.
Right, right. Like there was something that was supposed to come before it, but really there wasn't.
Right. There you go. Our random clip of the week has to go to this. Check it out if you want the full version. Donald Trump featuring Daft Punk, China, China, by Grand A. Or
I kind of wish there were more Daft Punk, Donald Trump mashups.
You know what? After this, why not?
I hope so.
Do it, Internet.
Because our closing song is a Daft Punk song.
Yes, in 8-bit form.
Yeah.
So maybe this could be the new trend.
And this is going to be our new closing song.
And if they do it, it's Donald Trunk.
Donald Trunk, yes.
Yep. That's when he
Trump Punk.
Trunk Punk?
Trump Punk.
Oh, and Trump Punk.
Squish them together. It's Trunk.
There you go. So,
Daffled Trunk.
If Trump doesn't stay in the White House long, there you go. He's got a career now with Daft Punk. Why not? There you go. That's our random sound clip of the week.
People are going to review the history of the late 20-teens, and they're going to be like, remember when our president decided to give it all up and become an electronic music artist?
Yes. And he wore a helmet on his head.
Yes.
But there you go. Random sound clip of the week. Now it's time to get to the part of the show where Mike lets you know what's coming up in TV and movies and video games. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
All right, but we do have time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment. What do you have on the docket for
us? That's right. You better make sure you have time for this one.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
It is, of course, the return of The Handmaid's Tale. The season 2 season premieres this week on Hulu, despite my repetitiveness.
The season 2.
This show is incredible. This season is really unique because it's going completely off the source material. Source material only covered season 1, so this is all new ground. For people who read the book and watched season 1, this is all completely brand new stuff. It's continuing the story started in season 1 about a dystopian near future Puritan society in which the reproductive habits of women are controlled by the theocratic government. This heady drama won, I believe it was the Emmy for Best TV Drama last year, so you're going to want to make sure you get into season 2 as soon as possible. It's already out right now, available on Hulu. Go check out The Handmaid's Tale. I can't say enough good about this show. It is so good. Definitely a must-watch.
Right. There you go.
But the real big news this week in entertainment is, of course, in theaters. It is the biggest movie event of the year. Avengers Infinity War invades theaters this week. This movie is poised to be the biggest movie ever in entertainment history. I mean, this is the culmination of 10 years and 18 movies worth of shared universe content.
Yeah, it's weird to think that the first Iron Man was 10 years ago.
Yeah, 2008, Marvel and Disney embarked on a little journey to create a shared universe, and here we are 10 years later. This is, man, if they hit this one on the head, it's going to be a huge success.
It'll be all worth it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this movie. Expectations are sky high. Don't let me down, Marvel and Disney. You guys have been hitting home runs so far, so I can't wait to see how it all wraps up.
Yeah, I mean, literally every star's in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Every single one from every other Marvel movie is going to be in this one. Definitely go check it out. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment, This Week in Entertainment. Before we get to our special guest on the line, I believe there's something you want to mention here in the entertainment entree.
Yeah, so last week I talked about a big video game release that was coming out, the reboot of God of War on PlayStation 4. This game is absolutely fantastic. I was super lucky to be able to pre-order the game and get some good play time in it. And I have to tell you, Rich, I was, you know, when they first announced it, I was like, oh, I don't know, it looks really different from the original God of War. But I have to tell you, this reimagining of the series is absolutely incredible. I just want to give you an update real quick on the reviews of it. Critics are absolutely going gaga over it. 95 out of 100 on Metacritic from 101 different reviewers, no mixed or negative reviews. And I have to tell you, after playing several hours of the game, I definitely understand where the positive marks are coming from. Somebody made a comment online that it doesn't revolutionize anything. It doesn't really change any gaming conventions. It doesn't really challenge the way we think about games. What it does instead is it borrows the best of some of the biggest games that have come out, and it just crushes them all out of the park. I mean, you have the father figure, child figure dynamic from The Last of Us, and the semi-open world from Tomb Raider, and the more thoughtful, nuanced combat of Bloodborne, and the visceral action of the original God of War, all tied up into one gaming experience. And so far, it has been absolutely spectacular. From top to bottom, this game just...
Did you beat it already?
I did not beat it already. So I don't know how things might change. But just in the opening, I don't know how much I've played of it. It's a big game. Probably less than 20% of it. Probably even less than that. But so far, I have not had a moment where I thought, oh, that could have done that better. Or, oh, I wish this were different. Pretty much everything from the combat, the exploration, the puzzles, the story, the technical side of it, the graphics, the music, everything so far has been top-notch. There's not really one area where you don't see the care and attention to detail that they put into it. You know, right away, the story grabs you. I'm not going to spoil anything for you because I know you still haven't had a chance to play it.
I was celebrating my birthday this past weekend, so yeah, I didn't have a lot of
gaming time there. But I hopefully you get a chance to play it in the upcoming weeks because you have to. It's amazing. But right from the start, everybody knows that this is the same Kratos from the original trilogy. And at the end of the original trilogy, Kratos supposedly, it seems like he died. Obviously, he didn't. So right away you have that going for you in wanting to know how he came about in this new area. And there's a lot of mystery in it. Whereas in the first game, you sort of knew his motives and understood the character right away. There's a lot more layers here to this Kratos, in peeling back the relationship with his son and understand why he's in this new area and what his role is in this new area, and some of the motivations driving him, why he sought out this particular life. Combat is, of course, always a hallmark of the God of War series, and this game does not disappoint. It's much different than the original God of War, in that the original God of War was very fast-paced and sort of just attack, mash the button. Yeah, it's not... You can do that, but it doesn't really favor that gameplay style. It favors a more, like, not laid back, but sort of keeping a medium distance from the conflict and sort of surveying the battlefield and trying to figure out the best way to use your weapon and your abilities and really think about how, you know, there's a lot more strategy involved than just mash. But I have to say that the best part of the game for me is just the small little details. Everything just works flawlessly. You know, if you think that you should be able to do something here, you know, the game doesn't stop you from trying that. The little details, even in like the menus, all being written from the son's perspective, like the journal where you follow all the goals is all written from the son's perspective. So it's like that little extra bit of storytelling, even in the menus of the game. You know, it's like, father should probably do this, but he's always angry, so he won't. It's like those little nuances that they thought, we can even add story here in the objective descriptions, really shows how carefully they've put this game together. I sound like I'm gushing about this game, but it's because it's that good.
You told me in the break that it has the highest record, the highest review score on Metacritic right now, right?
For a
PlayStation 4 game?
Yeah, it's so far it's tied with The Last of Us Remastered for the second best review score, only being beat out by Grand Theft Auto 5.
Ah.
So it's in super elite company, you know, sandwiched between GTA 5 and Last of Us. And I think it's really deserved that spot right there. I wish I could talk more about the story, but I can't spoil it for you.
Yeah, don't spoil it for me.
But it is so good. for people worried that it's just angry Kratos killing more gods this time in Norse mythology, it's not that at all. It's almost the exact opposite. So I can't wait to get back into it and find out more about the world and this new, more thoughtful Kratos. Not that he's thoughtful, but he's not just this one-note anti-hero anymore. There's more depth there. And you can tell this game came from a really talented group that put a lot of thought and care into it. So I'm really excited to continue playing it. Okay. And I've talked for a lot now.
So there you go.
So
Mike bought me enough time to get our guest ready on the phone. So let's jump into the next portion of the show. It's time for the side dish. Woo, side dish. And yeah, every now and then we got to have one of these random segments that we call a side dish. It doesn't really necessarily fit into the sports, entertainment, or odd news sections. And this time, it is because we are getting a special guest call here on the show. Yeah, we get to play the phone music that we have here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast because on the line we have a very talented comedian. This comedian is definitely one that I've been looking forward to interviewing. I love seeing his videos on YouTube. I love his comedy. I love his stand-up specials. He's got a new book out called Ginger Kid. It's already on the shelves right now. And for our local audience here in Philadelphia, he has a show at Helium Comedy Club on Thursday, May the 10th. I highly encourage that everyone go see it. Folks, we have Steve Hofstetter here on the show with us. How you doing, Steve?
So that intro was great. I don't need to do anything now. It was great to talk to you guys.
Did I hit all the points there?
Everything I wanted to get across. So, yeah. So, great. All right.
All right. Well, there you go. I already hit all the points for you. See, I get that out of the way, and then we can shoot the breeze for the next 15 minutes. But in all seriousness.
Yeah,
perfect. Yeah. But in all seriousness, Steve, I got to admit, reading your sheet, what you're up to, your Twitter feed, I mean, it really does seem like you're one of the busiest comedians out there. I mean, how many gigs are you doing?
So this year we're doing this crazy tour. It's called the Your Tour, and it is 150 different cities in all 50 states and over a dozen countries. Really, I think I just need a more comfortable bed. Otherwise, you know, and that way I won't ever go on the road. But like I was thinking of redoing my bathroom, getting like one of those really nice showers with like a waterfall shower and the jets on the side. But then I'd never leave. So then like I couldn't afford to do the bathroom. So it's a real catch 22 I have.
Yeah, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Those damn hotel showers are so much better.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? The world is not built for someone who's 6'4". Let me just go off on a little bit of a rant for a second. Why are shower heads low? I don't understand why so many hotel shower heads are built. I mean, maybe like were hotels built when we were still smaller? Like were all hotels built in the 1800s? Like I don't understand how like the average person is not 5'4". Like I don't understand why hotel shower heads are so low because water falls down from the shower head.
Like, yeah, you think logic would prevail. That's a true point because I stayed in a couple of hotels recently, and it is ridiculous. They do seem pretty low, and I'm only 5'8". Like for you, that's, right. that must be really a problem. I didn't realize you were that tall either.
Yeah, it's one of those things. There are so many celebrities that are like really short when you meet them in person that I think people just assume everybody that they see a video of is short. And so like the most common, they're like, well, I met Tom Cruise and he was only 4'2". Yeah, I'm never standing next to anything on stage for scale. You know, like it's just me in an empty place. And so like, I guess like I should travel with like a yardstick or something.
Yeah. That way we have something to scale. Cause you're right. It's just you and, you know, probably like a stool, a mic stand, maybe the sign of whatever place you're playing. And that's it. Like it's an empty stage. Yeah. We need to get something for scale in the background.
Absolutely. But I think, I mean, look, I'm guilty of it too. Because I always thought that Bo Burnham was a lot shorter. And then, like, I didn't realize he's taller than I am. And I didn't realize that until I saw, because I hadn't met him in person. And then I saw an interview that he did with Pete Holmes. And I know Pete, and Pete's taller than me. And I was like, how is this? Wait, but they're the same size. That means Bo's tall. How? And, like, it took me a second to register. so.
Yeah, you get that, like, you almost have, like, a mental disconnect there. And then when it finally hits, you're like, that can't be real. But, you know, the numbers
absolutely.
Don't lie.
And now, like, when I see videos of them, I look at it as, like, a tall person. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course Bo's tall. But, like, when I first saw it, I think I just assumed he was short because he was young. And then I realized that that isn't how height works.
It's based on your age.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because, look, you do grow at a certain point. But, like, it's not one of these things of, like, oh, well, he's 22 and I'm 38. So, therefore, he must be, you know, he must be about half my height. Like, that's not, yeah, not really how it works.
It's like you're doing calculus to figure out somebody's height.
Yeah, exactly. Instead, I just look and be like, oh, he's much taller than that piano. Okay, makes sense.
Right. If only, yeah, everywhere we go, there needs to be scales now. Everyone needs to have a proper...
Everyone should just carry around a cardboard cutout of a well-known celebrity who people know the height of. You know, like Andre the Giant or something.
Yeah, like, yeah, I should like, travel with, a cardboard cutout of LeBron.
Right.
And be
there
like,
you go.
Oh, he comes up to... He's pretty far up on that cutout. This guy must be tall.
Then people will go, oh, he's 85% of LeBron James.
Yeah, exactly. It is very strange, by the way, to note, like, so I am 38 now, and to know that I'm at the point in my life where I am older than almost every professional athlete.
Oh, yeah.
Sucks. Because I remember the first time I was ever older than one was Andrew Jones. And then it turned out that he was lying about his age, and he was actually older than me. So that worked out. Because I got a year of reprieve. And then that was the first time I was older than a professional baseball player. Or not professional, but a major league baseball player. And then it's all just been downhill from there. It's, you know, now, like, well, it's one of those things that I see, like, Bartolo Colon. I'm like, oh, man, he's so old. And I'm like, he's, like, 5 years old. I mean, he's not that old.
No, like, but he's older in terms of professional baseball.
Absolutely. Like, dude, I think that Curtis Granderson is ancient, and he is less than a year older than me. Like, I'm such a jerk.
Right. You know, so I just turned 29, and, like, it's funny because we do a sports segment and we'll talk about, like, the draft coming up, and we'll be talking about, like, Nick Foles or something. He'd be like, you know, he might only have, you know, 3 or 4 good years. But he's like,
he's the same age.
He's my age. And it's like, oh, I didn't realize I'm putting it that way.
I was actually thinking about that. I was thinking that about you and the show, actually. You've only got a couple of years left.
Yeah, right. In terms of my podcasting career, it's all downhill after next year.
Well, look, your knees have already given out. So, I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do once you're being stitched together with duct tape at this point? How many cortisone shots can you take before a show?
Yeah, right. We got to carry all the equipment. Oh my gosh, it's going to be bad.
So I was at the Phillies game for Rhys Hoskins' debut.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, I got to see the debut, which was awesome, especially because a lot of people didn't think he'd be called up yet, and then he was, and I was very excited, and I got to go see it. And, like, when I see him playing, I think to myself, like, that is a large man, you know? And then I realized, no, that is a child in a man's body. Like,
he's still growing.
He's so young. Yeah. He's so young. And it's, like, you just see, like, a professional athlete close, and like, look, I'm not a small dude, and you know, and I just like, I'll see one of them up close, and I'm just like, oh, what a large man, what an adult, and then I'm like, no, it's like a college kid that just has a jersey on, but you forget that sometimes. So, anyway, the point is, I'm very insecure. So it's just-
there we go, the too long didn't read there at the end.
Yeah.
Well, something that I wanted to spin off on from this is the fact that you're doing so many of these shows. I have a curious sense of, I want to know what your daily life is like on the road, because you're playing, you know, all these shows during the year. You're hopping from city to city. How do you handle life on the road when you're doing a comedy tour like this? I mean, do you have time to take the sights in for each city? Do you just chill back? Do you stay in the bed that's more comfortable than home?
Oh, I mean, I don't care about the sights in the city. I don't care about the touristy stuff at all. Like, I've been to enough places at this point that I've seen everything already. You know, like, look, Philly is great, and I'm very excited to go play Helium, and it's awesome. But, like, I've been to Philly probably 3 dozen times at this point. So if someone's like, hey, you want to go see Liberty Bell? I'm like, yeah, I've seen it. At this point, I want to get a good night's sleep. You know, no offense to Liberty Bell, very nice, the nicest broken piece of musical equipment I've ever seen. But you know, for me, it's more important to, like, have a good show and have fun while you're there. My favorite thing to do is to eat well when I'm traveling. And so, like, what I will do is I'll make sure to go to, you know, my favorite restaurants in a certain city. There's actually my favorite sushi place in Philly happens to share a wall with Helium. And that was before Helium even existed. So I was very excited about that. So I'm definitely going there before the show. But, and I've been doing this thing. One of the things I've been doing, you know, on the road now is I've been doing these secret signings where basically I'll go into a bookstore and I'll just be like, hey, I wrote Ginger Kid. I'm going to go sign it now. And they're just like, what? And so I just go, I find a couple copies on the shelf. And what I'll do is I'll put this on my social media and I'll just say, hey, this is at a bookstore in Philadelphia. Go find it. And whoever finds it, I'll shout them out on my YouTube. And so it's been a lot of fun. I've been doing it all over the country. And, like, I think the record for, like, how quick from the time I posted on Instagram to the time I found it, someone found one in 38 minutes, which is crazy.
38 minutes? Wow.
So, like, 38 minutes, yeah. And there have been three under an hour. And, yeah, so it's just been it's been a whole lot of fun. And it's also, I get a neat kick to see, like, you know, hey, here's a store that displays the book prominently. And then, oh, there was one store where, like, and look, I don't know if this was a coincidence or someone did this on purpose. I don't want to judge. But there was one store where Bill O'Reilly wrote a Nazi book because, you know, he's a fan. And it's weird because it's for young adult because he's trying to indoctrinate people real young now. And so my book is also young adult. And so they're often on the same shelf or within a shelf of each other. But there was one store where, like, the bookstore manager couldn't find the book. And they're like, we have copies in inventory. I don't know where they are. And they're, like, turning it upside down. And finally, I'm just moving books around the shelf, and I happen to pick his up, and mine are all behind this Nazi book.
I was like,
someone better not have done that because I'm Jewish. Like, this better be a coincidence. there better not have been someone who was just like, oh, you know, this Jew thinks he's funny? Well, we'll show him. So, you know, it's you know, you get a different experience depending on what city you're in.
Yeah, how did those two get mixed up?
Yeah, I think, look, probably someone picked up Bill O'Reilly's book. Their hand started burning. And then they immediately threw it down on the shelf and didn't pay attention where it went. But it's also possible that someone was just like, hey, wouldn't this be funny? So who knows? Who knows? Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
Yeah, man. People are always up to something, apparently. But, you know, it's good to mention that, you know, you're very active on your Twitter feed, on your Instagram feed. And I follow it. And every now and then I do get to see some of these, you know, hidden book signings that you do. And it's great to see the clues that you leave and everything. But another thing that you do on Twitter is you post photos of your dog, Walter. And I love pets. I'm a sucker for pets. And I love the Daily Walter post that you have. The most recent one that really made me laugh was the one where you made a United States map and you marked every state that your dog, Walter, pooped in. Did you actually, like, keep a track of this?
Oh, I've been doing that since I got him. I got Walter, and then, like, 6 months later I got divorced and I just kind of hit the road. And so it was just me and him. It was like this really weird buddy cop film, but he didn't speak much. But anyway, where he just poops. But, I just basically decided, and it's kind of just a map of where he's been because you know, it's not like he's going to take a day and he's like, I don't want to poop in Alabama, you know? So it's really just a map of where he's been, but I decided it would be much funnier to call it his poop map. So it is, he's down to 9 states now?
Wow.
9 or 11? I forget. I think he's down to 11, and then we're going to polish off most of those this year, if not all of them. So, yeah, he's, and it's always fun when, like, someone looks at the map and they're like, oh, I've only been to, like, 10. I'm like, yeah, my dog's butt is way more traveled than you are.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous. I haven't pooped in as nearly as many locations as your dog has.
I can't tell you how many people saw that post and they're like, I want to keep a poop map. I'm like, really? It's just a travel. Okay, that's fine.
You know what you need to do? You need to actually sell, like create your own poop map by Steve Hofstetter. And, like, you could have your own interactive poop map.
I've done so many dumb things I need to monetize. this is one of them.
There you go. We're helping you out.
Make
it an app. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, perfect. Oh, that would be so easy. Damn it. Someone's going to do this before I get to. Yeah, I'll tell you this. The other night,
The other night, I had a joke. I have this joke about, like, airplane seats and people not being able to fit in one. And the joke is basically, like, we should start an app where two people can buy three seats on a plane and call it can'tfitinakayak.com. And after the show, and, like, someone at the show was like, oh, do you own that URL? I was like, no, but I should probably buy it because my special's coming out soon. And so then the other day, my special came out, and I was like, you know what? I really should buy that. And I go and I look. Someone freaking bought it. Someone who's seen my show bought that URL.
It was probably somebody at the show actually walked out and was like, that's a good idea. Called GoDaddy and got it.
Very well. Yeah, it very well may have been. And so someone owns that now. And I hope they point it to my special and not to like some awful site.
Well, you have some time with that app if you can act on that one. But something else that I want to mention as well, since we're talking about the crowds that you have, you're often called the heckler destroyer. You really take on hecklers that you know either shout out something during your show or interrupt your show. Is it getting to the point now that you actually almost sort of welcome it now? Because you make these YouTube videos, they go viral. I mean, some of them have as many as 5 million hits. Is it almost kind of like you can lick your chops if you get a heckler at one of your shows?
Well, wanting it to happen and licking my chops are two different things. Because, you know, it's one of these things like I'm a sniper and I happen to be a really good shot. But I'd rather just sit on a roof and eat a sandwich. That said, if a target comes across, I'm going to be damn proud that I'm a good shot. And so the only times I've ever, like, looked forward to it is, and this actually happened before I even had, like, the reputation, but, like, other comics knew about it and, like, some producers' shows knew about it. So every now and then there'd be, like, I'd be doing, like, a showcase show in, like, L.A. or New York where there's, you know, 10 comics on a show. And there'd be someone who's just, like, being a real jerk in the crowd early on. And, like, this happened a couple of times where the producer was like, hey, can you go up next and deal with them? And
it's almost like
a hitman.
It's almost like they're using you in, like, the batting order.
Yeah, I mean, it just became a thing. I'm good at, I guess, you know? And so it's something I know how to do. And it's one of those things where, like, I guess, you know, I spoke incorrectly. There have been two other times where I've been happy it's happened. Because there were people that I saw earlier in the show were being jerks. Like, there was one time where this guy was just, I could see from stage the entire show, he was just full court press hitting on a friend of mine and, like, would not leave her alone. I could see by her body language she was really uncomfortable. And in my head the entire time, I'm just like, this guy is a dick and I can't do anything about it. I'm on stage. You know, what the hell can I do? And so then he spoke up and I was like, oh, here's what I can do. And so, you know, I used my power for good that night. And then there was another time where a guy was really mean to the box office staff before the show. And then he spoke up. And then I was like, I'm going to slaughter you. I will avenge my friend.
You're almost like a stand-up hero then, you know, taking on these people for justice.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm not the hero they deserve. That's one of those things where I'm just like, I don't like this person, and so I'm going to do the thing that I'm best at in the world. And everybody has a skill that they are best at. Everybody has something that they can do, and it just so happens that mine is to embarrass somebody. And so when someone deserves it and I can use that skill, it's a neat little match.
Well, there you go. Using your powers for justice. Ginger Kid the Hero or something. That could be the sequel. Turn it into like a comic book.
I actually did. I did this one clip once, and I think I'm going to do more of it, where I made myself a superhero called the Pale Annoyance. And my superpower is being so petty and annoying that the villain just gives up.
So, I think that sounds like a good,
good
story.
We might do more of them. It was a fun sketch.
It's true. You have this niche that you're so good at it. I mean, your videos, just each one that comes out, I feel like gets so much traction. Especially, I got to point out the one that really just sets you apart is the one with the lady saying that because you don't have any kids, you can't tell a parent that they have a bad child. Oh my gosh, I laughed.
Yeah,
that was the
video that changed my life.
I rolled on the floor laughing because you compared it to a helicopter pilot. If he crashed into a tree, you never piloted a helicopter, but you can still point out that somebody messed up. That was a stroke of genius.
I can't tell you Thank you. And what's crazy about that is that argument actually gets used now as like not even a joke, as like an argument. Like I've seen that pop up online so many times. And, you know, those fans are nice enough to be like, hey, that's a Steve Hofstetter joke. Don't just pass that off as your own. But like people legit, they'll be having conversations. This happened on Facebook the other day. There was like a Humans of New York post. And someone like just posted that as an argument of about parenting. And then someone's like, hey, that's not yours. But it's just become, that video got so many views that, you know, between the re-uploads and everything, it's, you know, sitting at 10, 15 million views now. And so it's just become part of that argument has become part of the vernacular, which is something I never thought would happen. And, you know, is a really cool thing.
Yeah. So, you're actually a philosophical argument.
I mean, God bless that idiot in Titusville, Florida. It was such a small town. That was the craziest part about that show. There were three of us on the show. We only did it because we were down there going to spring training. We're all three big baseball fans. And so we're like, let's do shows at night and pay for the trip. You know, so that show, the three of us got paid $200 total, not each, total. And that clip changed my life. And, you know, it's one of those things that, like, you work so hard and you try all these different things and then just, you know, one day something pops. But I'll tell you this, that woman is famous in Titusville, Florida.
She owns that town.
Oh no, not in a good way at all.
Yeah, right.
Wow, and it's difficult for her to go grocery shopping.
They all call her out in the egg aisle.
Oh yeah, they're just like, you know, they're just like, oh, do you know anything about eggs? You a professional dairy farmer? Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
That's definitely one that just made me laugh.
I just realized, and I appreciate that, by the way. And I just realized that I am less concerned with the fact that you are like complimenting this clip and saying how much you enjoy it, and more concerned with the fact that I said dairy farmer. I'm like, wait, eggs aren't dairy. That's the wrong reference. Like, that's how much I'm in my own head.
We'll let it slide.
We'll let it slide. Yeah, we're not hosting a game show here.
I know how many comments are going to come in. People just be like, eggs aren't dairy, you jackass. It's just a joke, please.
Well, you know what? That's fine. We'll let that one slide. But
I appreciate that. Please don't edit that out, because, you know, it'll stay true to my mistakes.
All right. That'll stay in. I guess one thing that I wanted to also ask you while I have you here on the line is I want to know, I'm always curious as to comedians' influences. What would be like the top, you know, three comedians that have influenced you in how you deliver your material or how you create your material or just how you perform your stand-up?
Bill Hicks, George Carlin, and Mitch Hedberg. I'd say possibly Seinfeld up there with tied with Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
But just because, you know, the thing that they all have in common, even though they're very, very different comics, I mean, Carlin is kind of in the lineage of comics. It's like Bruce, Carlin, Hicks, you know, direct disciples. But like, you know, Hedberg and Seinfeld are very, very different. But the thing that they have in common is that they all do jokes about their truth, whatever that truth is. You know, their truth happens to be, you know, minutiae. Whereas Carlin Hicks were much more like, you know, big overarching politics, but they stick to their truth, and that's what I love about them, and that is what I try to do.
So what would you say your truth would be when it comes to your shows and how you write your jokes?
I try to be a contrarian. I try to find, you know, points of view that I have that other people don't, or that other people do but they don't realize that they have, or they won't admit that they have. And, you know, I try to, you know, a lot of my jokes are about not sticking to the status quo. And, you know, and I mean, some of it is, you know, the one story that I told that got a ton of traction, and the full story is on my new special, which, by the way, you can go see at my Patreon if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be out for a full release on May 17th, but is a story about how I got revenge on this woman who let her dog go on the bathroom floor, or not on the bathroom floor, on an airport floor. And I ended up inadvertently making her miss her flight. And it was just one of these crazy things where a bunch of everything came together. But it was, you know, I think the reason it resonates with people is because they want to see someone like that get justice. And I think that's why the heckler clips resonate with people too, because it's not that they like them mean to people. It's that they like them mean to people who deserve it. And I think that that's a lot of what, you know, my act is, and it's a lot of what my life is.
And I think that comes back to you being a hero on the comic scene. You're serving justice.
I think that is such a nice way to say the word jerk, but I will take it.
No, I did not imply jerk. No, I really do think you're I'll definitely attest. I think one of the biggest reasons why you have such a big following and why your videos go viral is you are you, and you don't apologize for being you. And whenever you have one of these hecklers that you know want to shout out something and they want to get famous, you put them in their place, and it's just and you just do it so brilliantly too, and people respect that. And I think that's why your videos go viral and people respect you, and why we want to see you when you come out to these events, especially the one in Philadelphia.
Well, I appreciate that, and I hope that everybody listening, you know, comes out to see a show, except if there's anyone who's listening who's a dick, and then please stay home. But everybody else, please come to the show and buy a book and all that stuff, and, you know, trust the guys you're listening to, because they're saying nice things about me. So thanks for having me on, though, guys. I really appreciate this. I really just thought I was ordering dinner, and then it turned out it was a whole podcast.
That's right.
We're pretty happy about it.
Yeah, the title of the podcast sometimes confuses people, but it's great. We always get raw reactions.
This is the longest Chinese food order you've ever placed.
You know what's sad? It is not.
Yes, you can always use more Chinese food. You can always use more of crispy noodles. So why not?
Absolutely.
But, you know, you can also use some more laughs. And if that's the case, you need to go check out our friend Steve Hofsetter playing Thursday, May 10th, 8 p.m. at Helium Comedy Club. Great venue, great comedian. It's going to be a home run night. And, Steve, we'll see you there. All right.
All right. Excellent. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Thank you for calling in. Oh, man. And there you go. Steve Hofsetter there for you. Once again, Helium Comedy Club, Thursday, May 10th at 8 o'clock. I have a feeling that it's probably going to sell out. He is a very funny comedian. So why not? Go out there, enjoy the bright lights of Philadelphia, and have some laughs with Steve Hofsetter. Thank you again for coming here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. That will wrap up the side dish and the second part of our show for now. But coming up next, we got some odd news. I got a couple of crazy stories that you need to hear. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A man in Missouri was banned from passing go or collecting $200 when he actually started a fight at a Monopoly tournament, and police sent him directly to jail. 69-year-old John Linton turned violent when he was asked to sit out from this year's tournament after he engaged in, quote, unsportsmanlike conduct.
Was he trying to steal money from the bank?
Probably, yeah.
There's always one person.
Yeah, always takes that extra $500 from the bank.
Yeah. You really want to drive people crazy? Have you ever played Cutthroat Monopoly?
What's the difference?
We would take all the property cards and deal them out at the start of the game so that everyone had at least one full set of colors so you could start building hotels on, like, your first or second turn. People were literally going bankrupt on, like, the fourth or fifth turn. It would just break hearts and destroy friendships. It was a horrible, horrible experience. I have serious PTSD from playing.
Yeah, you sound like those history documentaries.
Yeah.
You know, I remember back in 1910 during the height of the Monopoly era.
We gathered around the Monopoly board. We didn't know what we were getting into.
We heard of this cutthroat Monopoly. We never heard of this before.
We decided it could be nothing but a little bit of fun.
I wrote a letter to my fair Virginia. Dear Virginia.
Dear Virginia.
I've gone penniless here on Park Place.
If you do not hear from me, it means I've ventured past Boardwalk. I shall not return. Please know, I will always remember our time at the Waterworks. Love, your one and only Mr. Moneybags. I mean, sometimes when you play Monopoly, you do feel like that. You feel like you've hit a point where you're like, I can never be sane again.
I can't manage my own finances in the real world or in the fake Monopoly world.
Yeah, really? It's just like rubbing salt in the wound. That's like, it should be in the rules at this point. It's like the first person to knock somebody out.
That's the sucker punch somebody.
Gets to sucker punch somebody.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done the sports sampler, the entertainment entree, and then a tasty side dish where we talked with Steve Hofstetter. Make sure to check out his show May the 10th. That's a Thursday night at Helium Comedy Club. Going to be a good night.
Yep.
But now it's time to move into our third and final segment, where I have the week's craziest odd news that I can find all over the place. Folks, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool. Uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Pass this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
News.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. And here in this segment, Rich reads the news. He researches the news, then he reads the news, and then I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me so that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started. What do you got for us this week, Rich?
All right. I got a couple of just quick bulletin stories here for the first two or three stories.
A news
here.
Bulletin?
Right. Not a ton of information, but just the basic gist of it is the story, and just funny to imagine.
Okay.
The first one, going to Washington State.
Okay. I don't think we ever really go up there that often.
Maybe just to Seattle. Usually not really featured in the odd news.
No. It's very cold and dreary, so I don't think people are doing that many weird things out and about.
Nope, but they had this happen with their official Department of Transportation. The Washington State Department of Transportation said that a training error was to blame for an inappropriate message on an electronic highway sign. A photo on Facebook shows that an electronic highway sign over southbound on I-5, Interstate 5, had a message that read simply, quote, "You suck." Yeah, imagine like you have like a bad day at work and then you're coming home and there's an actual sign that says you suck.
You're like, oh man, even the sign hates me.
Really?
The Department of Transportation is out to get you.
Yeah.
You suck. That's great.
Simple, right to the point.
How, though, can that be chalked up to a training error? Was somebody like, oh, I have to complete this employee evaluation, and meant to type you suck into the employee evaluation and accidentally typed it into the program that makes the sign? I don't know.
Spokesperson Ruslan Kozlov said that the message appeared at 1:30 on Tuesday afternoon.
Wow, right in the middle of the day.
Yeah, this wasn't like...
At least it wasn't rush hour, though.
Meh.
That would have been really bad.
You still got a lot of people traveling there.
Yeah. No, you do.
The Washington State Department of Transportation acknowledged the incident in their official press statement. Quote, "This was an inappropriate message, and we apologize if anyone was offended. This was due to a training error and was a mistake."
But how?
"We are taking steps to ensure that this doesn't happen again."
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I just love the image, just driving home.
Yeah,
you suck!
It's like, oh, come on!
Really? Even the Department of Transportation is sticking it to me today.
Yeah. Some days feel like that, though.
Yeah.
But that's hilarious. You know, I always see pictures like that of, you know, funny or witty things that people put in those signs, but never one that just says, you suck. Just a general, you suck to just society.
Everybody. Yeah, everybody.
You suck.
Everybody in Washington State, you suck.
Man. I still want to know how that was a training exercise, how that was a training error.
Yeah.
Like, were they doing, like, test? Like, this is how you would type something in to get, you know, a message to display.
Watch this, Bob.
Yeah.
You suck.
It's also, though, really not that offensive. Like, no. In the grand scheme of things they could have typed.
Right.
You know, it's fairly innocuous and just sort of whatever. But I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't be. I mean, yeah, I might be like, oh, why does the Department of Transportation hate me? But on the other hand, I'd be like, that's still pretty funny, though.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I'd be torn.
There could have been worse things he could have put up there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it has to be a guy, too, by the way. That's just so, like, juvenile.
Oh, yeah.
Guy.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised he didn't put, like, a penis joke in there or something.
All right. Moving on to our next bulletin here. Going to Michigan in this one. And this is just amazing to think of the odds on this one. A Michigan couple who already have 13 sons decided to have another child, and the child was born last week. The 14th child, another boy. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, if you're 13 for 13.
now you're 14 for 14.
Right. I mean, that's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Like, that's an unnecessary amount of kids.
Jay and Kateri Schwant announced that their latest son was born April 18th. Bringing their streak of boys to 14 in a row.
Wow. That's yikes.
A genetics counselor says that the chances of having 13 sons in a row was already at 0.05%.
Wow.
So not even a full percent. 0.05%.
Jeez.
So 14.
So what's 14?
Like, I guess half of that. 0.2%.
Man,
0.02%.
Those are some strong Y chromosomes.
Yeah.
That dude's like got super Y chromosomes. Right, that's the boy one.
Right.
Okay.
You're right.
I was like, wait, am I saying the right thing? I didn't take a lot of science classes in school.
Jay Swant said that when the couple announced their pregnancy, that this one's going to be their last. Probably said that the last 12 times.
Yeah.
Although, he said in a recent press report, quote, if you have three kids, it's almost the same as having 10 at this point, if you ask me.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not. I was just thinking, like, what happens if you're like, oh, let's invite, you know, the whatever their name is, the Bobsons over for dinner. Better set out 15 place settings.
The Schwants.
The Schwants. Yeah. Also, dumb name. That's probably offensive, but it just sounds weird. What is it? Schwants?
Schwant.
Schwant.
S-C-H-W-A-N-D-T. Schwant.
Schwant. Yeah, I don't know. Not a fan.
The couple have 10 of the kids living under their roof now.
Oh, because, my God, how?
Because the oldest two have already done college, and two are in college.
Okay. That's still a lot of kids under one roof.
Yeah.
Could you imagine constantly living in one house with 11 other people?
That's crazy.
I would go crazy.
Yeah.
I would literally just go insane.
On the other hand, you get a pretty good income tax return.
that's true, I guess. Only up to a certain point.
Look on the bright side of life.
Yeah. That's a lot of kids, though. Whatever you're getting in tax returns, you make up for in buying, like, breakfast cereal.
Yeah.
For 12 people. Because it's 10 kids, but it's also the parents. So it's 12. You know? When they have all the kids home for Christmas, it's not 14, it's 16.
You have enough to start... you have enough to start to actually form two basketball teams and have a bench.
They have a family basketball game every year. That'd be great. That sounds like fun. You realize when those parents have their kids over that they are almost as many people as my entire family that we have over for like Christmas Eve.
Yeah, and that's every day.
Yeah, and that's just every day. That's just a normal day. I wonder what type of house they have. Like, I'm actually interested, like, logistically, how does this work? If you sit down to watch TV in the evening, where does everybody sit? Or do you just have, like, four couches?
Like, everybody's on the ground.
Oh, my God. I'm just, like, have you ever thought about these things?
No.
No? Well, I'm thinking about it now, and it's just, like, blowing my mind right now. Like, how many bedrooms do they have? Or do they just have, like, three bunk beds in one room, and they're like, these are the barracks. This is where...
they actually live on a barracks.
Yeah, this is your life now.
Yeah.
They just rented out an auditorium. They don't even have a house. There's just cots in an auditorium. Like, really, think about it. Like, yeah. How would you fit that many people into one... I mean, it's doable, but...
I don't know.
It's crazy. Now I can't stop thinking about it. Like, what does their kitchen look like? How big is their table? Or do they have to eat in shifts? It's like, ah, sorry, Billy, I know you're hungry, but you can't eat until 7:30. We have to get the first wave out of here.
You got
to
clock in.
Yeah, you got to clock in. Yeah. Sorry, Tommy, you're early for your breakfast shift. And if you miss it, oh, forget about it.
Yep, you're done.
You're done. You're just going to have to wait until lunch. I'm like, really? I can't get over this, Rich. I just can't fathom. Like, I lived in dorms in college, right? But that was like a big dorm.
Yeah, 14's a whole row.
Exactly.
It's a whole row of a dormitory.
Exactly.
A dormitory. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they do it. They live at a college. I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe they just rent out an entire floor of like a hotel or something. All right, I'm going to stop talking about it.
But true story, in Michigan, they have 14 kids and all of them boys.
That's also far too many kids.
Yeah.
Could you imagine those parents like changing diapers?
It's just one after another.
Right. It's just a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
It's an assembly line for diapers. All right.
All right. Our next little mini story here, Ohio.
Okay. I have nothing to say about it. Ohio's just one of those states.
You had like a dramatic pause there. Ohio.
Yeah.
Bastards.
One of those states where you're just like, okay, like, I acknowledge the fact that you exist, but that's about as much as you're going to get out of me.
Well, this was a pretty dumb story, and this is another one that's all in the headline here. An Ohio woman might want to ask some questions the next time she tries to borrow someone's urine again to pass a drug test, because this news report says that 24-year-old Kiana Wallace was sentenced to 18 months in prison after she submitted, quote, a borrowed urine sample that still tested positive for drugs.
Wrong, 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 you're wrong.
Wallace pleaded guilty earlier this month to tampering with evidence. Judge Frank Frigiato called the failed urine swap completely bizarre and says that this is a mockery of the drug and alcohol testing system. So, yeah, the judge is pissed off.
God, what kind of world do we live in where you have to drug test
clean drug testers.
Right.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
It's almost more work to get another person's urine sample and test that urine sample and then submit it as your own. You could just not do any drugs for like a week.
Yeah.
Maybe give it a shot. I don't know.
Well, unfortunately now she's sentenced to 18 months in prison, for tampering with evidence. And then she was already going to be charged, with drug possession. So just snowballed into another charge. Fantastic.
Silly. Just a silly move.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
All right. Let's go to this story here in Louisiana.
Okay. Good old Louisiana.
I love the image on this one. Upon returning home from work on Tuesday afternoon, a Louisiana resident discovered a woman just naked in her bathtub and eating her Cheerios, according to a police report.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Bathtub Cheerios, all right.
According to an arrest affidavit, the victim found the stranger inside her home around 5 p.m.
Okay.
When she confronted the intruder, the woman told cops that the naked burglar claimed that an unknown male told her to break into the victim's house. So somehow always blame a guy.
Right.
Silly guys.
I know. Just
telling me the wrong house.
You could just not break into the house, though. The guy's like, break into that house. And she's like, okay.
I guess he told me to do it.
So even if that's true, how do you make the leap to eating Cheerios in a bathtub?
Cops responding to the 911 call identified the naked woman as 29-year-old Evelyn Washington.
Okay.
Washington apparently entered the home through a broken window in the back. An officer noted that she observed the bathtub was full of water and that there was a plate of food along with half-eaten Cheetos belonging to the victim on the toilet next to the tub. Very classy here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't make me shoot my ultimate four!
Yeah, very classy.
Oh, God. Yeah, I just... So she's naked in the tub.
Yep.
And then what did she have on the toilet?
All of her food.
All the food laid out. Yep. Like it was like a little table.
Right. She used the toilet as a table.
She's having a little a full meal there.
A little bath picnic.
A little bath picnic. What? I don't understand, though. You broke into a person's house. These stories always piss me off. And you somehow find the time to take a bath and have a meal. like if I'm committing a crime, I'm thinking, okay, I got to get in and out real quick. Not, what else can I do today while I'm in this other person's house?
I might as well get a bath while I'm here.
Right, exactly.
I smell a little funky after climbing through that window.
Not a quick shower, but like a leisurely bath.
Yeah.
Like with bubbles and candles and Cheerios.
She lights candles.
Yeah, for her Cheerios bathtub
makes
thing.
It very romantic.
There's Cheerios and what else? What else did she have?
Food.
Just food?
Yeah.
Okay. All we know is just Cheerios specifically.
Right.
Okay. What else do you think she had?
Filet mignon.
Wow. Okay. Jesus. I was thinking like other breakfast foods and you're like, nope, filet mignon.
I mean, if she has this much time, I mean, well, why not? Make yourself a decent meal.
Where's the lamb sauce?
She got the lamb sauce like cooking in the sink. I don't even know how that's possible.
Where's the lamb sauce?
No, that's what she does. She stopped up the sink and she's got like a soup going in there. You know?
Washington was arrested for burglary and criminal damage to property. She's locked up on an $8,000 bond. So, wow. Yeah.
Crazy.
Maybe she can, in her prison cell, maybe she could do another meal. Because you got a toilet right there.
Yeah, that's... I like how that is the... That is the common denominator for you, is the toilet.
Yeah.
As long as there's a toilet, she can cook.
Right, exactly.
That doesn't make any sense.
She can at least place her food on there.
Right, exactly. Well, you don't want to get crumbs in the prison cot, you know?
Right.
So you put it on the toilet.
Right.
I don't think prison toilets have the lids, though, you know?
No, they don't.
I think it's just...
It's going to fall in.
Also, it's kind of gross if you're just putting your food... Like, even if you put down, like, a napkin first, that's still really gross.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about it.
All right. Well, let's move on, and I got three Florida stories here to wrap up the odd news.
All right.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah. Got to have some Florida stories here. Wouldn't it be an odd news segment without them?
Absolutely not.
Here's another funny one to imagine. A Florida man was arrested yesterday after he allegedly striked his boyfriend in the head with a big mouth Billy Bass.
Wow, that's a blast from the past.
Right, the novelty.
Or should I say a bass from the past?
Whoa!
Good night, everyone.
Officers were called Sunday afternoon to a residence in connection with a reported domestic battery. Upon arriving at the home, cops found Larry Timmerman with a laceration on his head. An injury that the victim said was caused by a big mouth Billy Bass thrown by 54-year-old Gregory Carney.
I'm not laughing because of the domestic violence. I'm laughing because all I can imagine is this stupid fish singing the entire time. That this person's beating the other person with it. It's just like, I don't know what it sings. Bass, 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 bass. This is just hitting the other person with this singing thing, right?
Yeah.
It's the thing that I'm thinking of, right? The motion-activated fish placard thing.
Yeah, where it only the mouth only moves, like, one thing, and that, like only moves, like, the jaw of the thing.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah. In interviews with Timmerman and Carney, cops determined that the men, who have been domestic partners for 17 years, had been quarreling that day. At one point, Carney went into the den and began playing with his favorite singing fish.
What? This is my most prized possession.
My Billy Bass.
My big mouth Billy Bass.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
I think I have the audio of the Big Mouth Billy Bass, if we want to take a listen. I don't know. I don't know if this is the right thing or not. Should I play it?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so this is going
is,
on.
Is that what it sings?
Yeah. Timmerman said that Carney kept playing with his singing fish.
Oh my God.
And continued doing it just to aggravate him. After having to endure several Big Mouth Billy Bass performances, 52-year-old Timmerman then removed the singing fish from the room and placed it in the trash.
That sounds not as, like, aggressive as I thought it would.
When Carney
just placed it in the trash. He didn't throw it in the trash. He didn't chuck it in the trash. He placed it in the trash.
When Carney discovered that his favorite novelty item was missing, he quizzed Timmerman on its whereabouts. When Timmerman responded that his Billy Bass was now in the trash, Carney became angry. He then got the singing fish from the garbage and threw it at his boyfriend. The item struck him right in the head, which caused a laceration.
Damn.
Carney admitted that he did throw the singing fish, but said that he did not aim for his head.
Well, it doesn't matter where you aimed. If you hit the person, you hit the person.
Carney was then arrested for domestic battery.
Well, yeah. You hit him with a fish.
Yeah, you hit him with your favorite big Billy Bass toy.
Also, I just want to circle back to the fact that he mentions that he was playing with it. Like, how do you play with it?
Yeah.
It's a wall decoration.
Right. Like, do you, like, dance around it? Like, what?
Do you just sit in a chair and just push the button over and over? You just watch it sing? Sing to me, Billy. Sing to me.
What song will you sing next?
Tell me again, Billy. Where do you want me to take you? To the river? Flap your little tail for me, Billy. It's becoming oddly sexual now.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah, getting a little creepy there.
But, like, when you say that you're playing with a Big Mouth Billy Bass...
And you're 50-some years old?
You're playing... Oh, I missed that part. He's how old?
What is it? He's 52. Wait. No, 54.
54.
Yeah.
And he's playing with a wall decoration.
Yes.
That's like if I took, like, the Eagles pennant off the wall and just started, like, dancing around, flapping it...
That would be actually more reasonable.
Right, exactly.
I'd be like, oh, okay.
He's like, oh, that's normal behavior.
Right, that's
for
normal
Eagles fan.
Normal Philadelphia Eagles behavior. He's talking to his Super Bowl pennant.
Yeah, but the Big Mouth Billy Bass.
That's a little creepy.
Maybe that's normal for Florida. Like, here it's normal for us to, like, you know, woo, Eagles win, you know, play around with this banner. Maybe that's normal in Florida, playing with your Big Mouth Billy Bass. Just take it off the wall and, I don't know.
Every 50-year-old gets one.
Yeah. That's the traditional 50-year-old birthday gift.
Yes.
Is they get a Big Mouth Billy Bass.
That's when you know you hit 50.
Yeah, you get your very own talking electronic fish from I don't, when was this thing popular?
Like in the 90s?
Like in the 90s. Jesus.
It's his favorite one. It lasted all these years.
Was it really popular? That's what I want to know.
It was enough that it made money on infomercials and commercials.
That's just crazy.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen one in real life?
Yes.
Really?
They're creepy.
I would assume so.
It's because all it does...
It just flops around and sings, right?
But it doesn't even really flop around. You know the movements. Because one of them is just like one from like a 0 to 90 degrees. And then the mouth just only does like...
It just opens a tiny bit.
It opens a tiny bit. That's it. That's the whole thing.
It's like, how can we make a thing move with the least amount of motors possible?
Right. It's not that special.
No.
But I guess in Florida, it's a rite of passage.
It's a rite of passage in Florida to get your big mouth Billy Bass. I like it. At the age of 50.
At the age of 50, yes.
That's a very long time to wait for a rite of passage.
Right. You've become a crafty veteran.
Why is that your thing all of a sudden?
I don't know.
Where did it even come from? Crafty veteran.
Yep.
But wait, so you're a crafty veteran at 29, but also at 50.
Well, no, this is Philadelphia age.
Oh, okay.
So, I was going by Florida age.
You become a crafty veteran in Philly at 29.
Yes.
But in Florida, you have to wait until... No, yeah. In Florida, you have to wait until 50 to become a crafty veteran.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense, Rich.
Okay.
Thanks for clearing that up for everyone.
No problem.
That's why you're the crafty veteran.
Yes. I got my Billy Basses in a row.
That's right. Does that mean you need to get a Billy Bass because you're a crafty veteran now, a Philadelphia crafty veteran?
No, I'm good. I don't need
one.
Are
you sure you don't want one?
Yeah, I'm good. I don't need one of them.
You're getting one next week, Rich.
Dear God. All right. Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's move on. I got another Florida story here for you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Let's do this one here. A Florida woman was arrested after she was in a drunken argument with her husband.
Okay.
57-year-old Brenda Allen was hanging out at home with her husband late Monday night. And like most Florida couples, they were passing the time by drinking some alcohol. Why not?
That is highly stereotypical, but I'll allow it. Like most Florida couples, they're just drinking on a Monday night.
Predictably, a verbal argument then ensued, according to the arrest affidavit. The Florida woman reportedly told deputies that she decided to grab her husband's arms and then tried to yank out his suprapubic urinary catheter.
Attention catheter patients.
Hi, me again. I'm a professional cowboy and I use catheters. Been cowboying for 25 years and there's two things I know. I don't like pain when I cath, and healthcare is a complicated business.
Yep, so...
The cath and cowboy.
Right, catheter cowboy, yep. He needed to go on the scene here.
That's awful.
For those that don't know, a suprapubic catheter is a hollow, flexible tube that's inserted into the bladder through a cut in the stomach.
No.
By the way, they're both naked.
Well, of course.
This is how you know.
That goes without saying.
I love the wording of this story because, first off, like most Florida couples, they're drinking.
Right.
And number two, they left the fact that they were both naked all the way into the middle of the story.
Yeah.
Talk about burying the lead.
Right.
Good job, Florida news sources.
By the way,
they're both naked.
So this couple's just sitting there naked drinking.
Yeah.
On a Monday evening.
Yes.
With the catheter in.
Right, with the catheter.
The super pubic.
Suprapubic urinary catheter. So when she missed on her first attempt, she then chased her naked husband out into the front yard.
Oh, come on. Jeez.
This is like the worst game of tag ever.
I know. Tag, I ripped out your catheter. that's awful. Jesus Christ.
Worst game of flag football ever.
Tag, I ripped out your colostomy bag. Oh, my God. Like, what other medical devices can you rip out of a person?
Yeah. So they were running around in the front yard. At one point, both of them tripped and fell over. And they just laid there.
They just gave up.
Yeah, they just gave up at that point.
So apparently it wasn't that big of an argument if they're just like, I'm tired. I'm going to pass out naked on the front lawn.
Running is so much exercise. deputies arrived at the couple's home at 2 in the morning, and the Florida woman was arrested. She's facing a charge of domestic violence. Bond is set $1,000 for her.
Well, yeah. There you go.
Don't rip out the catheter. Come
no,
on.
No, that sounds awful. Ugh.
Attention catheter patients.
Hi, me again. I'm a professional cowboy and I use catheters. Been cowboying for 25 years and there's two things I know. I don't like pain when I cath. And healthcare is a complicated business.
Yep.
I don't like pain when I cath.
Right.
You know what makes cathing really painful? Is having somebody rip it out of you in a drunken rage.
Yeah. And then you got to run all around the front yard.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's not bad enough she's trying to rip this thing out of him, but he has to run naked and drunk for his life.
Yeah, and everybody's naked.
Yeah.
All right, and I got one more Florida story here for you.
Okay.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, last one of the episode. Let's make it a good one here. Shoppers at a Publix grocery store parking lot got quite a sight on Vero Beach, Florida on Thursday night. 46-year-old Jonathan Botcher was jumping on cars, punching cars, and kicking over trash cans in the parking lot, all while being naked, according to an arrest report.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I feel like at any given time, there's more naked people in Florida than clothed people in Florida. Yeah. Every news story is like, by the way, they were naked.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're probably right.
The arresting officer was also naked.
When police arrived, Botcher was allegedly sweating uncontrollably. He was also swinging his arms and had a pair of basketball shorts bunched up around his ankles.
He was jumping around cars with pants around his ankles?
Yeah.
That's tough.
Police also noted in the report that he kept on screaming, quote, "Get away from me. I only had one beer."
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And, quote, "I never did anything wrong. I only wanted to smoke some pot." That's it.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
There has to be a lot more to this than just one beer and some pot. You don't get naked and start attacking cars on one beer and some pot.
Botcher reportedly kicked over cigarette disposals and trash cans before he entered the Publix grocery store. And yelling at the trash cans, "You're not the one I need!" I don't know what the hell.
What did he think he was talking to?
Is this like Bioshock when you get to search like the trash cans for items?
You dig into the trash can, you find a half-eaten cream-filled cake, and you're like, health.
Health, yes.
And you just eat it.
Half a pack of smokes.
That's right, yeah.
Yay!
Just digging through the ashtrays and the trash cans. That's what it was. He thought he was in Bioshock.
So he needed to be naked.
Yes.
And he thought the cars were Big Daddies.
Well, giant metal things that growl at you, sure.
Yeah.
Die, you monster. He's just punching this car to death. Punching a car has to hurt.
Yeah. Shouldn't that wake you up?
I guess not. He must have been on some heavy-duty stuff.
Another witness told cops that when he exited the Publix grocery store, he then stopped traffic and then punched cars.
That sucks.
Yeah.
You're just trying to get out of the grocery store parking lot, and some naked dude is just assaulting your car. Ah! You're just sitting there like, come on, man. Why you gotta punch my car?
When a police deputy spoke to Botcher, he explained that he only had one beer.
Yeah.
And he smoked only part of a marijuana joint.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
With some homeless people behind the Publix supermarket.
Why?
Yeah, there's some homeless people back there.
I'm going to go smoke with the homeless people.
Yeah, like Jesus would have done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I forgot that famous Bible quote. Lend me a light. I don't know.
Lend me a puff.
Lend me a puff.
The least puff that you lend to my brothers, you lend unto me. Jesus 420.
Nice.
Botcher then said that there was a perfectly reasonable explanation for him being naked.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, you want to...
I gotta hear this. It's gonna be something stupid like his clothes were on fire or something.
I love the fact that he actually has to tell the cops, look, there's a perfectly reasonable explanation for all this.
Like, I know I'm naked right now, but I can assure you it's all gonna check out.
Yeah.
So what's his story?
He says that, quote, a friend drove by him at the Publix grocery store and mooned him, so he decided to, quote, moon him back permanently.
Oh, okay. He's right. That was a perfectly good explanation.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Moon him back permanently?
That's a yes.
Does that mean, like, always naked all the time?
Right.
So every time he sees his friend, he's just butt naked?
Yep. Those are the rules we just made up.
Okay, of course. Well, it all checks out. You're free to go.
He then also told another deputy that, quote, the friend wanted to steal items from the Publix and then said that taking off his pants was the only way he could get his friend to not steal from the Publix grocery store.
I think he needs better friends. It's like, look, man, I'm going to steal all these things unless you take your pants off right now. That's a weird outing.
Yeah.
You go to the grocery store and you're like, I'm going to steal this ham unless you take your pants off. Strip naked?
I'm going to commit felonies unless you're naked.
Oh, my God. That is a terrifying bartering system. I mean, it could get pretty graphic pretty fast.
I'm going to shoot up some heroin unless you get naked right now.
Oh, my God. I'm going to commit arson unless you drop to your knees.
What a philosophical dilemma you're in.
Right? Yeah, does the sanctity of one person outweigh I don't know.
I want to go back to my philosophy class now and bring them this story.
Yeah.
How's this fit in your system? Oh, and as for the sweating,
that would be all the drugs coursing through his veins.
Botcher claimed that, quote, the Florida heat must have got to me. Which I guess that's reasonable.
I mean, that's the only one that checks out, yeah. Really.
He was arrested and charged with disorderly public intoxication, and he is going to have 45 days in county jail. So, there you go.
Oh, man. I hope he finds better friends.
Yeah, please. Whoever his counselor is or something, tell him he needs to find better friends.
Yeah.
Poor guy. Go to a library or
How
something.
Many times has he stripped naked to stop his friend from stealing things?
This is probably why we have so many naked people in the Florida Odd right. News. It's him.
Really, it's just all a big misunderstanding. People are trying to prevent more crime by getting naked.
Yeah. Actually, Florida is a very noble state.
Right, exactly.
Just naked all the time.
Just naked all the time.
What logic?
Oh, it's rock solid right there.
And there you go, folks. That's what I have for you this week on the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. But before we finish this episode, it's time to go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Well, I learned... kids, if your friends are asking you to get naked to stop them from stealing, you need better friends.
Yeah.
Okay, you gotta cut them loose. It's just not gonna work.
Yeah, you can find better philosophical friends than that.
Right. Oh, man. And, you know, that bartering system worries me because, you know, what happens if the crime gets more serious? What are they gonna ask you to do? I don't know. I don't want to entertain those thoughts, but you need better friends, people. But another thing I learned from Florida was that it is a classic rite of passage in Florida to get a big mouth Billy Bass at the age of 50. It's a very important milestone. You turn 50, they're like, here's your big mouth Billy Bass. You're now a crafty veteran, apparently.
Yep, and go into your room and just hang out with them all day.
Yeah, and do whatever you want to do with your big mouth Billy Bass.
Yep.
And I realize that sounded vaguely sexual, but that's all right. A lot of things in this podcast sound that way.
Yes.
In the odd news. Another thing that's kind of weird, kind of sexual, I don't know. People always find time to bathe while they're committing crimes.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Is it a turn on? Are people just really dirty everywhere they go?
It's a lot of work breaking into a house.
You work up a sweat. Sometimes you have to crawl through the dirt to get under a fence. I don't know. But people always find time to bathe.
Yep.
And have a meal, of course.
Right. Right, yes. Next to the toilet.
Right next to the toilet. Ah, the classic toilet
table.
Toilet table during your bathtub picnic.
Yes.
Fantastic. Very classy.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. It's like fine dining. I can tell you this. You won't be doing a lot of fine dining when you have 14 kids, which is just way too many damn kids.
Yeah.
That's
birth
insane.
Control.
Yes, exactly. Get them tubes tied. and that's what I've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I don't if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And there you go, folks. Another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast in the books. Just want to plug again our phone-in guest, Steve Hofstetter, funny guy. He's going to have a big comedy gig at Helium Comedy Club Thursday, May the 10th, 8 p.m. I'm sure tickets are going to sell out fast for it. If you can't make it to that, though, he's got a new book out also called Ginger Kid. Very funny. And if you follow him on Twitter and Instagram, he leaves random signed copies of his book wherever he goes on his tour. So maybe if you're following him on Twitter, you might pick up one of his books and it might actually be autographed by him. So make sure you're following him on Twitter and on Instagram as well. But for us, this has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of The Crispy Noodle Podcast, shrunk down to a quick 2-minute promo that you can easily share with friends and family. The craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can find us on Twitters. Let us know what's happening in your world. If you have any interesting links to send us, any stories that you think we need to keep an eye on, why not send them our way as well? We're also on Instagram as well. We have the Crispy Noodle Podcast handle on Instagram, and I also have Rich Liebig on Instagram as well, so you can see in picture form what we're up to as well. So there you go. All the ways that you can stay in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast after the podcast ends. But unfortunately, we got to wrap this one up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That'll do it. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week for another crazy episode.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia, okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018. Is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.